James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The Armed Forces Radio Service presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
The post office at Yellowcrest was in Jim Pincher's general store. Oh, it was just a piece of planking and some wooden cubby holes over the one side between the soda cracker barrel and the jug of apple cider. And when the store was crowded, you couldn't expect to get much mail service, but you couldn't blame Jim for that. It's just like he said, he made his profit on selling groceries and staples, and the post office was just sort of a convenience for the folks in town. Well, anyway, I'd been out on the range about 3-4 months, so I thought maybe a letter might be turning up. Not that I was expecting to hear it from anybody in particular, but, oh, well, it's about my time to get some mail. I usually receive about 3 letters a year, or 4, or maybe some years, but that's not counting the catalogs either. That's just a letter.
Nope, I'm sorry, Britt. I just ain't got a thing for you.
Well, I thought I might as well make sure while I was in town.
Sure. I'm real glad you dropped by. How are things with the Foster outfit?
First rate, Jim. First rate.
Well, maybe by the time the roundup's over, I'll have some mail for you. Deliveries are usually a little heavier then. Why, one day last September, I got in 6 letters.
No.
It's the truth, help me. 6 letters. And it was all for the people right here in Yellowcrest. Oh, treat yourself to some of them Concord grapes there, Brett. They're real sweet and juicy.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Much obliged. Well, wait. I'm sure. Hey, these are good.
They're the best I've seen in a long time. Oh, well, ladies are fixing preserves. That's why my wife's always... Well, she's already on about it.
Oh. The woman who just come in was tall, kind of gray-haired, with deep frown wrinkles in her forehead and big blue saucer eyes. They had black circles all around her. She didn't look my way. As a matter of fact, she didn't seem to be looking anywhere. She just stared straight ahead, and resting the palms of her hands against the mail counter.
I'd like my mail, please.
No mail.
You sure?
No mail, I said.
Well, there must be something by now. Maybe you didn't look and...
Say, Britt, did I show you the new supply of holsters I got in? Come on over here where you can get a good look at them. Not that they're fancy enough for that revolver of yours, but they're sure pretty. Good quality, too. They...
Hey, just what's going on here, Jim? Well, that lady was in here. You treat her like she had the plague or something.
You mean you didn't recognize her, Britt?
No, I can't say as I did.
Helen Bricker. Strad Bricker's girl.
Helen Bricker? Why, that's not...
Nah, guess we ought to be calling her Mrs. Billy Stark, but right?
Yeah. Well, excuse me, Jim. I want to see if I can catch up with her. Thanks for the grape.
Now, wait a minute, Britt. The folks in Yellowcrest don't like the idea.
Hey, Helen! Hey, Helen! Helen, hold up a second here. Hey, what's the matter with you, Helen? You getting stuck up or something?
Stuck up?
Well, you remember me, don't you?
Sure. I remember you, Britt.
Well, but back there in the store, you didn't so much as give me a nod.
I didn't hear you falling all over yourself with good mornings either.
Uh-huh. Well, to tell you the truth, Helen, I just didn't recognize you. Not right off the bat. Not that you've changed very much or anything, but, well, it's been quite a spell.
Your
since,
mouth
you know...
is the wrong shape for lying, Britt. You couldn't fool a horsefly.
Well, I don't know what you mean, Helen.
So I haven't changed, have I? Gray hairs, wrinkles so deep you can feel the bones behind them.
Yeah, well, maybe your hair is sort of lightened up here and there, but that doesn't...
Britt,
mean that...
I'm an old woman. I was 27 last April. But I'm an old woman.
Oh, now, Helen.
Well, here's my buckboard. Goodbye, Britt. Thanks for speaking to me.
Thanks for speaking to... What the Sam Hill do you mean, Helen?
Hadn't you heard? The good citizens of Yellow Crest don't waste their words on Billy Stark's wife. They're not going to like the idea of you walking down the street with me, neither.
Oh, now you're doing a little exaggerating, Helen.
Am I?
Well, now, where are you living now?
Cabin out the end of town by South Creek. The one my father built when I was a girl, remember?
Oh, sure, sure. By the way, how is Strad?
I don't know. I haven't seen him since I come to Yellow Crest last month.
Oh?
He sent word I could have the cabin. Nobody's living there anyhow. But I wasn't to come near our house or try to get in touch with him. Not for as long as I live. Get up, Sarah Jean.
Well, seeing it's almost noon, I thought I might as well wander over to the hotel and have some dinner. I was just passing Sheriff Ritter's office when I got the doggone this pain in my right foot. Wow. Gee, wait for a minute. I thought I'd broken something. Every time I put my weight down on it, it was just like somebody was driving a spike up in it. Oh. Well, for Pete's sake, why didn't I think of that before? It was a spike. Yeah, that's what was poking up through my heel. It was a spike.
Something the matter, Brett?
Huh? Oh, hello, Buck. I reckon my boot needs a little repairing.
Better take it over to Seth Jenkins. He'll take care of it.
Yeah, I guess I had. Say... Hey, where'd that star on your chest come from? You taking over for Sheriff Ritter or something?
Temporary, Britt. Yes, sir. He's gone over to Salt Center for a few days, visiting some relatives from back east. Left me his deputy while he's gone.
I say. Oh, nice bumping into you.
Yeah. Britt.
Yeah?
Wasn't you just talking to Helen Bricker over by the general store?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Britt, we'd appreciate it if you didn't act too friendly towards her.
Oh?
She shouldn't have come back here in the first place. She must have known how the town feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Because of her being married to...
Why, sure, Britt. You don't blame us, do you?
I
know she was young when she run off with him, and he hadn't turned into a out-and-out killer yet, but she didn't have to stick with him, did she? Why, even after he robbed a bank right here in her own hometown and killed Dave Fletcher, she still didn't make a move towards leaving him. Leastways, they was together when the marshal captured him a couple of months later.
Well, I did hear about Star being arrested, but I didn't get too many of the details.
Yeah, it was over at Junction City. They'd been living there on and off, using another name, of course, and pretending to be real respectable.
Is that so?
Yeah, but somebody tipped off Marshal Shaw, one of Billy's own boys, probably. And the marshal took him without firing a shot. He's up at Fort Bryan now, and if you ask me, she ought to be there too, waiting to be hung right along with him.
Well, when's the hanging supposed to take place?
This week sometime. The day ain't certain. Leastways, we ain't had word from Fort Bryan yet.
I see.
Doggone it, Britt. Dave Fletcher was a fine man. Why, if it hadn't been for him and his bank, like as not, there wouldn't even be a town here.
Yeah, that's true enough.
Every time I see Helen riding around with her head up in the air, it just galls me. Why, even her own father won't have nothing to do with her. A guy like that married to a fellow who's murdered 10-12 men, maybe. Nobody knows how many for sure. And yet she come back here as big as life, as if she owned the place, not asking anybody's by her leave.
Well, Yellow Crest's her hometown, you know. I guess she's got a right to stay here if she wants to. There's not much anybody can do about that.
Maybe there ain't. Maybe there is.
Uh-huh. Hey, what? Hmm? Look at that. Who in the thunder stirring up all that dust? He sure must be in a hurry. Look at him.
Yeah, look. Looks like Tim Slater. Well, if it is, he's just back from Fort Bryant. Yeah, it's Tim, all right. Tim, what's the news?
They're stringing him up tonight, Buck. It's official.
What time?
11 o'clock. He was already testing the gallows when I left.
Well, there you are.
Yeah. Well, I guess I better see to having this boot fixed. So long, Buck.
Who put this heel on just did not know his trade. No reason why a nail should come through the inside. The heel's been put on proper. Who made these boots for you anyway, Britt?
Well, let's see now. Let's come to think of it. I believe you did.
Hmm?
Well, didn't you?
You know darn well I didn't. You think I can't recognize my own work?
Well, I don't
Why, know. I never turned out a pair of boots like this even when I was apprenticed. Now, tell me the truth. Where'd you get them?
The general store over at White Corner.
I thought so. Yes, sir, I thought so.
Mm-hmm.
Ready-made, that's what they are. Well, I could tell the second I seen them. No wonder you got a nail in your foot. The idea, Britt Ponsett wearing ready-made boots.
Well, you know, sometimes very hard to find a good bootmaker.
Well, I'm here, ain't I? Been here over 15 years.
All right, Seth. The next pair I get, you can make them for me. How's that?
I think people would learn better than to put their trust in machines. Here, see how this feels now.
Mm-hmm. Nice. No, looks like I got a hole in my sock.
Well, sure, that don't come as any surprise to me. Never run into a cowpoke yet who didn't have a hole in his stocking. Go on, stand on it.
Oh, all right.
Jump up and down.
What do you mean?
Go ahead, jump up and down.
All right.
Don't feel a thing, do you?
No, not a thing.
Took a human being to get that heel on right, not no machine.
You're right, Seth, you're right. All right. Oh, that's fine. What do I owe you?
Yeah. I ought to charge you double for having to work on ready-made, but since you give me your word you'll order your next pair from me, why, I'll stick my regular price at 10 cents.
Oh, it's more than worth it. Here you are.
Thank you. Yeah, gonna be quite a doings tonight, I reckon.
How's that?
Tim Slater come by with the news just before you dropped in.
You mean about Billy Stark?
Yeah. We're meeting at Buck Thompson's house, but I don't suppose you'll want to get mixed up in it, Britt.
Mixed up in what, sir?
Why, running that wife of Billy's out of town. You knew about it, didn't you? Tim said he seen you talking to Buck.
Yeah, I was talking to him, all right.
Well, didn't he tell you how we're going to show Helen Bricker, Helen Stark, that she ain't exactly welcome to stay in Yellowcrest?
No, I guess he didn't think I'd be interested.
We've been waiting until we were sure about that hanging. Figured we'd get rid of one Stark while the state's getting rid of the other one.
Mm-hmm. Helen isn't going to be very easy to convince.
Burning that cabin where she's staying ought to do the trick.
What?
I reckon she won't have much choice after that. And seeing as how her own father won't let her live with him, I imagine she might have a little trouble finding somebody else to take her in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks for fixing my boots, Seth. Feel just like new.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in just a moment.
Ah, you there, boy. Set up, look spry, step lively. This your great-grandpa and then some. My name? I've been called Johnny Reb, and I've been called Billy Yank. I'm a soldier. Civil War. What do you want to know about soldiering? What'd we do to keep our spirits up? Well, sir, mostly we sang. Mostly around a campfire or while we was marching. But there was other times when it come in handy. There comes to mind that time during the wilderness fighting in Virginia. That was round about May of 1864. Things were going pretty well. The rebel line had been broken according to plan, and we was moving up nicely. But all of a sudden, there comes a flank attack on a brigade of the 9th Corps. All unexpected it was, and it threw the boys of the 9th back in disorder and retreat. Well, they was able to reform the brigade right enough. They lined them all up again to face the enemy. But it wasn't hard to see that they was all in a mood of defeat and might easy get trounced again. And then, from out of nowhere, some soldier out of the 45th Pennsylvania turned out, this one soldier started to sing, "We'll rally round the flag, boys, we'll rally once again, shout in the battle cry of freedom." Well, sir, right away some of the others picked it up, and pretty soon the whole brigade was singing it real defiant-like. And they was marching up to the enemy like as if they hadn't already met them that day, and they was just itching to give it to them, and they did. Which just goes to show you. And you, boy, you realize it takes more than just men and guns and generals to make you an army. It takes having something worth fighting for, and knowing that you're not alone in fighting for that cause, like good men in the special services. That's what it takes to keep your dang spirits up, danged if it don't.